just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another day of life, Lord. For your many blessings, Lord. We just want to stop for a moment in time, Lord, for a few hours and just look into your word. Have a bit of a conversation, Lord. And talk about how about your goodness and your mercy and how you care about mankind. That you've always given them a way of escape, Lord. We see what's coming on this world, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've prepared us for this hour. And we ask that we be faithful and true and help us to say things, Lord, that would be benefit for those who might someday want to listen in. Because you said you'll send the hunger and the thirst in the land, not for bread and water, but for the living word of God. And Lord, we have so much on this world, Lord. We just want to just pray that you'll give us the right words to say, the right attitude to say them. And once again, we just want to stop for a moment in time just to spend time with you. We just pray you'll anoint, inspire, help me say the right things in the right way, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And sing that song. Talked about the last days, the ending of time. And we know we're living in the last generation. It's no, everybody knows. They just don't want to accept it or do anything about it. But anyway. Es ist gewisslich an der Zeit, dass Gott der Sohn wird kommen in seiner großen Herrlichkeit zu richten bis nun frommen, dann wird das Lachen werden teuer und alles wird vergehen im Feuer, wie Petrus davon schreiben. Posaunen wird man hören gehen, an aller Welt ihr Ende, darauf bald werden auferstehen, all Toten Gott beenden, die aber noch das Leben haben, die wird der Herr von Stunde an verwandeln und erneuern. Danach wird man ablesen bald ein Buch darin geschrieben, was alle Menschen jung und alt auf Erden haben getrieben, da dann gewiss sein jeder Mann wird hören, was hat getan in seinem ganzen Leben. O weh denselben, weil hat das Herren Wort verachtet und nur auf Erden frie und spart nach großem Gut getrachtet. Er wird für wahr gar kalt bestehen und mit den Satten müssen gehen von Christus in die Hölle. O Jesus, hilf zur selben Zeit von wegen deinen Wunden, dass ich im Buch der Seligkeit werd angezeichnet bunden. Daran ich denn auch zweifel nicht, denn du hast ja den Feind gericht und meine Schuld bezahlt. Der halben mein Fürsprecher sei, wenn du nun wirst erscheinen und ließ mich aus dem Buhe frei, darin Bernstein Diamond, auf das ich samten Brüder mein, mit dir gehen in den Himmel ein, die du uns hast erworben. O Jesus Christ, du machst das Land mit deinen jüngsten Tagen, den Menschen wird auf Welten bald von wegen vieler Plage. Komm doch, du Richter groß, und mach ihn ins Haus gnadenlos. Amen, Nibel, Amen. Ja, it's quite a song. It's die aber noch das Leben haben, die Wörter her von Stunde an verwandeln und erneuern. We talk to people about rapture and they think you're kind of lost it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Jesus coming back to rule and run. He says right here in the song, he's going to come. I just give you the other side that's got the song will come. It's not to richten. It's not, they figure you die, you go to heaven, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And the wicked, they die, they go to hell, and that's it. No, that's not the way the picture is. Jesus is coming, and those that are ready, and when that time comes, they get changed in the moment of the twinkle of an eye. And I was going to title this, God Always Has a Way of Escape. He always has a place of refuge. You go back in the days of Adam and Eve, he told Adam and Eve, and I was thinking about that this morning. He put man here, Adam and Eve here. He knew there was a devil down here. But he knew they're going to have to be tested. And he gave them a commission, be fruitful, multiply. And he said, don't eat out of the tree, of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. A lot of people think it's a literal tree growing out of the ground. I thought about that today, like he had just given orders. He said, Adam, come here, look at all these trees out there. They're for food. You can eat the fruit of every tree just to keep you alive. That time, back then, before the flood, they didn't eat killed animals. They just ate off the foliage and off the fruit of the tree. This is of everyone you can eat. Mm-hmm. And then, later on, he went and said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, there's two ways you can do it. You can partake of the... He said, do not partake of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you do, the day you die. That's the day. But eat out of the tree of life. Now, I was thinking about that this morning, what the tree of knowledge and good and evil and the tree of life. Mankind is the only thing that God created that has to hide his sex organs. And the tree of knowledge and good and evil, it wasn't a tree, it was a law. What kind of a tree would be called knowledge of good and evil? It was two laws in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply, but don't use the tree of knowledge of good and evil to do that. And it was introduced by the serpent, sex for pleasure. And the tree of life was reproduction by the way the deer does, like hunting season. Just after hunting season, or even during the hunting season, the doe starts mating with the buck starts mating with the doe. It's a season to be fruitful and multiply. He gives that commission to the animal kingdom too, be fruitful and multiply. But they still have theirs because they still own it. You don't see a buck out there in mid-season or in the middle of summer mating. He just does it when that season comes around. And that was Adam and Eve's commission, to be fruitful and multiply, but do it when that season comes around. But the serpent got in through the inspiration of the devil, Now, the serpent was not the devil. The serpent was an upright creature, just like Adam. He had sex organs. He had everything he needed to pervert this multiplication thing. And Eve chose to go that route instead of hanging on to God's word. Sure, she was deceived and all that. But God had a way. He always has a way of protecting you, or to give you warning at least, not to go that route. And then, of course, you know what happened. And she brought forth Cain and Abel. And then Cain was an offspring of the serpent. You can see it in his attributes. And but even in spite of that, God went to look up Cain. Because when Cain and Abel brought that sacrifice to the Lord, God had favor with Abel's, but not with Cain's. So God does not ignite what he doesn't favor. So Cain was jealous, and God knew he was going to rise up, and he's going to not feel good about it. So he came and talked to him. He says, Cain, how come you're acting up like that? I'm just putting in my own words, just to show you how God always has a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place that you don't have to get into trouble if you only listen. And he says, Cain, if you do good, you'll be accepted. Just because I didn't ignite your sacrifice, that don't mean I hate you. Just go out and do good. Do good things. Don't meditate on these evil things. Do good, you'll be accepted. Had Cain took that advice, we would never have the chaos that he should have just gone, maybe talked to Abel, and what have you got that I don't have? I want to know. I want what you have. Something to that effect, because God warned him. And when God warns you, it's not just words. It goes into your DNA. It goes into your maze. It goes into your whole bone structure. Cain knew if I do good, God said, he'll accept me. But one day he was out talking and killed his brother. He didn't take God's advice. That's not doing good, killing your brother. And, you know, even at that, he came to talk to Cain afterwards. And Cain said, well, if somebody sees me, they'll kill me. He said, okay, I'll put a mark on you that ever sees you will not touch you. And if he does, I'll avenge it seven times on him. See, God's grace and his mercy goes beyond human thing. And even with Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve did their thing, God said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to make everything right again. He didn't discard the whole human race. And you can see down through time, if you read the Bible from beginning to end, how God has worked over time to try to steer people in the right direction. And those that listened, they were blessed. And those that rejected God's advice, they got destroyed. You can see it in, I was reading in Jeremiah, how the children of Israel, they came to Jeremiah, and of course the Babylonians had taken over Jerusalem, and they decided, we're going to go up to Egypt. And they went to Jeremiah, asked the Lord for us whether we should go down to Egypt. So Jeremiah said, okay, I'll inquire from the Lord, see what he says. And then he did, and the Lord told him, no, tell the people to stay here and serve the king. And just stay here. And then they can. They said, Jeremiah, you're lying to us. God never told you. We're going to go down to Egypt, and we're going to do whatever. We're not going to listen to you. And they went down to Egypt, and you can read it. There's only a handful that came back. Jeremiah went with them. But he had such a heart for them, he just went down with them. And only a handful came back. Had to listen to Jeremiah, just stay here and serve the king. Because God raised up that Babylonian kingdom to chastise the Israelites because they were going into paganism and everything. And God, in his mercy, raised up Nebuchadnezzar, and because he says, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. And when you look at the Bible on a bird's eye view, you can see how God has, who's rich in mercy, has tried, bend over backwards, to prevent mankind from going, from destroying himself. If they could only listen. I was reading in, I don't know, maybe at a truck stop, it was, or maybe I saw it in the news, I don't know, just where I read it. If God is love, how can he stand all this suffering that's going on in this world? How can he okay all that? And I thought to myself, you know, if you only knew who it is that's doing this. It's not God that's inspiring this evil. It's mankind, under the inspiration of Satan, has made wrong choices. I know maybe 10, 15 years ago, I saw in the news, or somebody told me, that Madeline O'Hara, somebody had murdered her. Her son-in-law and her daughter. They murdered her. And in my heart, I said, serves them right. See, they're the ones that, she's the one that challenged the Supreme Court to take the Bible out of school. And she won. And they took the Bible out of school. The Lord's Prayer, the Bible. And I thought to myself, serves her right. And the Lord rebuked me for that, for having that attitude towards her. And I knew it was something, because I said that, I was making a false accusation, blaming her, taking the Bible out of school. And I knew there's something here I do not understand. And because I was troubled for about a whole week. And I remember at that time I was trying to figure out the Godhead. I knew there's only one God. As Brother Brandon said, there's only one God. And the Bible says it too. But I had this Trinity view, you know, from three gods. And I couldn't understand it to the point where I could explain it. Today I can explain it. Today I understand it. But at that time, so I listened to all these tapes from Brother Branham, the God had explained. And in that tape, he explained how the churches of America rejected the message. See, I told Sid Knox one time, I said, Sid, what happens to the children of Israel when they rejected the prophets? I don't know. I says, I'll tell you what happened. They went into chaos. They went in, they were destroyed. And I said, the same thing is today. God sent a prophet to this age, William Branham, that Elijah's spirit anointed. And people have rejected it. And they're going to go into destruction just like the children of Israel did, because they didn't listen to what he had to say. And anyway, going back to that meeting in Chicago in 1962, I think it was, and there was all the churches of America were there, represented there, something like 150 different churches. And the pillar of fire showed up. They were actually trying to get him off the, stop him from preaching. And he stood up there with his Bible, and he knew what they were after. They were trying to shut him down. And the Lord had showed him the night before exactly what's going on. And he says, you come here and you stand with me with this Bible. You prove me wrong with this Bible. And, but see, the churches of America rejected the prophet to the age. That's why you see this chaos in America today. And then, I still didn't know why the Lord was so hurt when I said to, concerning Madeline O'Hara. And then I had a dream. It was kind of a dream between a dream and a vision. I saw myself sitting in a giant stadium. So somewhere where they play football. And the stadium was nice and clean, and the grounds was very well kept, and there was a big door that with a big chain on there. And as I looked towards that door, I saw the chain, a big lock. I saw the chain, I saw the dangling, and I saw the doors being opened up. The doors were opening up, and I saw people coming in. And they come straight in. I was sitting on the bleachers watching this whole episode. And I seen this one woman coming towards me. And I said, "That's Madeline O'Hara." And then I saw these other people. They're dressed like judges. And I said to myself in the dream, "That's the Supreme Court judges." And on these people kept coming. I seen wicked people. I seen people, pimps and drug addicts and all that stuff came in through these doors, now that the doors were locked. And then you go, that's what happened in America. Not because Madeline O'Hara took the Bible out of school, because the churches of America rejected the message to the age. And Brother Branham said, if they would have accepted the message, not that it wasn't Brother Branham, it was God's message, they would have accepted the message, there would be no need for hospitals. There would be no crime in America. And I just didn't know that. I just found that out. I think you told me that John F. Kennedy, that was when John F. Kennedy was president. He got assassinated in the second term, just when he was running for a second term. But his agenda in the second term was to get rid of all the debt, to change the education system, to change that whole American environment, get self-dependent on instead of depending on foreign oil. But see, that was his agenda in his second term. God was hoping, because sure, God knew they wouldn't accept it, but he had the mechanism in place. He had the president in place. He had, if only the churches would have accepted the message. And because it didn't accept it, Kennedy's agenda fell by the wayside, and God allowed him to be assassinated. And then, you know what happened in America to this day. You see how America has gone. It's riddled with crime, and now with this Obama thing coming in, it's a first class. He promotes anarchy. He promotes. He doesn't try to stop crime. He just does everything that's anti-justice, that's not because Madeline O'Hara took, and it's not because of Obama. It's because back there, the people rejected the churches of America, which was the heartbeat of America. They rejected the messenger to the age. God had one plan for America. He didn't have 10-15. He sent a prophet. On American soil, he was born down in Kentucky, and he had a message. He preached his heart out for 33 years, I think. Come back to the Word, And if anybody's interested, they can look up his sermons, and they can do exactly what I did. I did some extensive search in all of this. I began to see that we were in the end time, and I also begin to see, because when the Lord saved me back in 1973, He gave me eternal life. There were some scriptures that He put in my heart. And one of the scriptures was, watch and pray that you may be found worthy to escape. God always has a place of escape, a place of refuge. A place, if people only take it to heed, to warning, God has a way. He had it for Cain. He had one for Noah. Noah believed him, and Noah went in the boat, and he got saved, and the whole family. God, you can look through Bible history, and you can see how God always had a place of refuge, a place of escape, a place of safety. And in this hour, everybody knows we're living in the end time. You could talk to people anywhere in the street. Now we know we're living in the end time. But It's not going to happen in our generation. I was out in California. I talked to some people there. And out there you can talk to people about the coming of the Lord more than you can anywhere else. And about California going under. Oh, we know it's going under, but it's not going to be in our lifetime. That's how they kind of encourage yourselves. And I remember going into this restaurant, and I talked to the cook, man. Like, you sit down at the booth, and they cook their food, and I talked to the guy, and I told him, you know, this place is going under? And you could tell she was concerned, but he said, oh, it's not going to happen in our lifetime. And then I delivered windows right on the coast, right on the Pacific Ocean, big, low-end windows. I delivered them to these big mansions. And I said to the guy there, I says, how come you're building these big houses? Don't they know this place going under? Oh, yeah, we all know it's going under, but it's not going to happen in our lifetime, so why should we worry about it? And then I delivered some windows up to that, you know, I've heard of the Andreas Fault. I made it all the way up that mountain to hairpin turns for the 53-foot trailer. And up there, there's this big mansion, right? Right, if you look over the edge, there it is, and there's a big canyon there, right? Top of the canyon, there's a big mansion being built. The site of the guy, the owner. Don't you know this? This place is going to sink. It's going to be right beside that fall. And he was brazen about it. He thought it was a good thing. The reason he bought that house pretty cheap because the former owner moved out because he was afraid it'll sink. It was that earthquake will sink it. And he was pretty brazen. Oh, no, it's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime. And see, that's people that get brazen. They get mean. They get to the point where nothing can touch them. Like in the days of Nineveh, you know. God spared Nineveh. And then Nahum, he told Nahum to prophesy over Nineveh. Go preach to Nineveh the second time. And what the people said, will God bring judgment the second time on Nineveh? That's not going to happen. Our walls are strong. See, that's mankind. They get to the point where they just harden their heart. And instead of taking warning, taking heed. But God, in this hour, is given warning. I'll just kind of read this here. And I read it this morning. And Luke, if you read it, it means a lot more. Luke 21. It's one of the scriptures the Lord gave me. And I've kept them in my heart. One of us, take heed, be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time from and near, go ye not there not after them. There's many, much deception out there. So that's a warning. Beware, he said, lest anybody deceive you. See these TV preachers and this, that, and the other, and everybody's got their own clique. That's just weapons of mad deception that Jesus warned us will be in his end time. And then here, Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Then he warns us again, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There is a way of escape. If you take this serious, first of all, take heed your hearts may not overcharge with serving and drunkenness, eating and drinking, like overabundance of eating. Now you can look at a society today, look at just eating. So they're all about eating and drinking and the cares of this world. So the opposite of eating is fasting. The opposite of drinking, like drunkenness, is to be sober. It's not only drink with wine, it's drunk with that hypothetical lifestyle. It's a time to be sober, to fast and to be sober, and then the cares of life so that they come upon the universe. These are all things that kind of make you insensitive to the Spirit of God. But the Lord has, back, I think it was in the late 80s, early 90s, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was wide awake. The Lord woke me up. For some reason I know it was 2 o'clock, I could hear my clock chime. I had this Westminster chime, and then it did 1, 2. And during that chime, there was a quiet voice saying, "I'm coming soon." And then it said, "Yeah, saying, I'm coming soon." Just barely above a whisper. I heard it in my body. It was an audible voice, but it also went into my spirit. And my wife was sitting beside me, and she didn't hear it. The next day I told her, the Lord spoke to me last night. Said, "Sam, I'm coming soon." And she looked at me kind of strange, like. but it affected me. It did something to me. And all of a sudden, these words kept coming to me. Watch and pray. If I were to escape. If Jesus takes time out to wake you up and come and tell you, Sam, I'm calls you by name, Sam, I'm coming soon. He's coming in my lifetime. If he won't be coming in my lifetime, why would he take time out to tell me that he's coming soon? It would be useless. Because if he's not coming in my life, he would just let me go and hopefully I'll prepare myself. But he said it, I'm coming soon. Let me know he's coming in my lifetime. And all of a sudden, I lost interest. It went into my whole makeup. And my whole day was taken up with that voice. I lost interest in the things of his work. I lost interest in my job. I was an electrician in that colony. And I knew I had to prepare myself. It says prepare. It talks about getting ready. How do I get ready? What do I do? How do I even begin? But I know one thing. God spoke to me, and I was too materialistic minded. My whole makeup was in the colony, and all the colonies are into is materialism. You go from one to the other, there's very little Christianity. It's all about their Gemeinschaft, their materialism, their kitchen. I had a dream last night about this one colony, by the way. And all they were interested in, I was touring with another guy. And they were building this humongous kitchen. It's all about eating. I mean, they had a new kitchen. Why would they build another one? Or tore the other one down. And they were working on a kitchen. And freezers and stuff like that. And it tells me that they're very materialistic minded. No searching for the Lord. Like with me, I lost interest in all that. Tearing down this building and building a better one, a newer one. That's what they did on days of Lot. I knew the scripture. I knew what it said. And eventually, I began to speak up against what's going on. And the corruption, the leadership. All it was, Jacob K., was just about money. Going to court to protect his patent on a self-eater. These things bothered me. They troubled me big time, because it's more important to sue your brother than it is to pursue the things of God. And even my father-in-law, he had his big table in the living room, and there was about whole stashes of blueprints for the killing plant he's going to build. And the Lord was already dealing with me on this, he's coming soon. Why would you build this killing plant? And he asked me, what would you do? I mean, he said, the Mennonites, they all got the chicken coat out. They went and bought a bunch of chickens, and then the chicken coat came in. We got to do something so we'd have something to eat. I says, well, I would do the way the apostles did. You know, the apostles did. They zeroed in on the Lord. Did God say, that don't put, here's what he said. Man, he's a preacher. Here's what he said to me. That don't put food on the table. What the apostles did. Well, he went and built a skillet plant. And I went and pursued the things of the Lord. Now, who made a better choice? I'd say I did. Because I set my face as a sled towards the heavenly realm. And in so doing, eventually, I was put into exile by my father-in-law. I remember him coming to me one day, and he said, "You got till tomorrow morning to recant. If you don't recant as of tomorrow morning, I'm coming here. You got no job. You got no home. You got no family. You don't even have a name. You just got a number." And that's just all day I've been singing that song. I decided to follow Jesus. So I told him, "Well, here's the deal. You'll do what you have to do. But I have decided to follow Jesus. And I'm not turning back." And the next day he came over and I was put into exile. Not because I rebelled, because of the word of God. And because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I've been in exile ever since. Sure, I've went back some time or two, but they don't even recognize me as anything less than nothing. Because I'm in exile. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a vagabond to them. I'm a loser. I'm a everything but anything spiritual. And the Lord put me on a journey. It wasn't so much. You know, when John was in exile, he was in exile by the Roman government. But he was not in exile by the Lord. That's when the Lord gave him the book of Revelation, when he's put on the Isle of Patmos, a love letter to the bride. And I read the book of Revelation many times, when I was saying, but see what the Lord was doing. He was preparing me for his soon coming, because he's coming in my lifetime. I'm 66 years old. Usually 70, 80, don't hear too many. But he's coming in my lifetime. I'm going to live to see the rapture. I'm going to live to see this transition. And when we die, we don't just go to heaven. There's things happening. There's the day of the Lord, where the Lord destroys the sinner on this planet. And he sets up his millennial reign. My uncle, he got excommunicated because he believed in a millennium and Jesus coming to rule and reign for 1,000 years. I remember my dad making fun of him because he said to me one day, "They believe that the Jews are going to build a temple." Like my dad, being a preacher, he doesn't even know that the Jews are going to build a temple here very close, very soon, before the millennium sets in. And see, but what I'm trying to say in all that, God has a way of escape. There is a, if you listen to the Spirit, there is a voice that if you can only listen to it, you'll hear it. It's over in, if I'm correct, it's in Proverbs 1. "Wisdom cried without. She uttered her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttered her words, saying, 'How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you.'" That's what God is doing. He's been doing since the dawning of time. But people have thickened their ears. They have blinded their eyes to what God is doing. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel and will none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon them. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. for that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And scripture in my mind. I know I talked to you about it many times, but I couldn't find it in scripture. And the reason I'm on it is he texted me this morning. And he said it's in Isaiah 65. And it's basically saying the same thing. I'll read it. 65:13. But this conversation we're having here is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. That we know judgment is coming on this planet. The day of the Lord is ahead of us. This is the last generation. We can see the horror that's going to hit this, the whole earth. And there is, God always has a refuge, a place of escape. He sends a warning before he sends judgment. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to express myself, how he has given me word. Now, I could have rejected. I hadn't made him to call me. I could have rejected and said, Lord, I'm not interested. Maybe another time. But see, I took it to heart. The Lord speaks to you. You need to take it to heart. And I always was kind of, even though I was a sinner man, and I backslid and all that, but in my heart, I always had a yearning for the Word of God, for the reality of the Word of God. And God saw that. He knew that. And he come to me one day and told me, I'm coming soon. Because he saw something in my heart. That when he did speak, I would respond. I wouldn't push it off another day. And I did respond. But after, I'd say about 6 weeks or so, I started going back into a slumbering state again. And God was rich in mercy. He gave me a warning first. I still have it today. This here finger, it got caught between the trailer and the ball. Well, my brother told me, go hop up the trailer and go to Brandon on the fair. Which was nothing but a drinking and an eating bout. That's all it was. And I wanted to get out of it, but I didn't have the backbone to say no. I figured, well, one more time. But the Lord said no. See, the Lord in His grace, and I ended up being in the hospital. Instead of going to Brandon, I ended up in the hospital. The Lord was, I knew what happened. Nobody had to come and tell me. He didn't have my chance. God said, no, you're not going. Okay. So after another 6 weeks, I started getting back into the work addicts in the colony again. Started to forget what the Lord had said. And then I broke my leg. He had this front end loader, we were working on it, and the guy in the back took a hose off, and the bucket came down, chopped my head off, my foot off. So I was laid up for almost 2 years before it healed. So it gave me a lot of time to think, you know, to evaluate what the Lord is doing in this hour. And I begin to now have no interest. I get serious with the Lord. You know, it takes gut-wrenching seriousness to pull yourself away from that deception. It's materialism, it's deception. And I was caught up in it like millions are caught up in it. But God, who's rich in mercy, has a plan for me. Mm-hmm. And He stopped me. And I got serious with the Lord. And I spent many time in prayer. Many nights instead of sleeping, I'd be in prayer. In fact, one day my wife, I went into the sewing room to pray. And my wife found me and she said, I'm going to report you for... report me for what? Pray? I had agony in my soul. I knew... The Lord is coming, and He has a purpose, and I'm not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? And finally, He came, or they just put me in exile. But it wasn't them. It was really the Lord using them to put me on a journey. I never knew about the Book of Revelation. I never knew what the Book of Revelation meant. I read it, but I couldn't understand it. And the Lord brought me to the message of the hour. And I'll say this, everybody that's going to be in this rapture will believe God sent a prophet. Because that's their only way of escape. God sent a message. God took great pains to send this man, anointed him with that Elijah spirit. And he preached his heart out for 33 years, went around the world. And many rejected him, many accepted him, many made him into an idol, worshipped him. But there's a few of us that felt his heartbeat. Oh, he had a longing and a desire to turn people back to the Word, back to the Bible, back to the apostolic faith. That was his mission. That was his, and that's what he did. And when he went off the scene, the Lord raised up Brother Jackson. That's what we believe here. And those that continued on, there's a lot of people believe Brother Brett, but they ain't going to no rapture. They have got to come to the next step. And the next step is Brother Jackson's ministry. Chief Apostle, where it began to open up the Word, the prehistoric world, and things begin to open up. That's getting yourself ready. And it's a continuous journey that he took us on. And I was looking for that from time to time. I would hear, and my dad used to preach. He preached it in German. I'll just read what I remembered. What I remembered him preaching. Darum spricht der Herr also, siehe meine Knechten sollen essen, ihr aber sollt hungern. Siehe meine Knechten sollen trinken, ihr aber sollt dürsten. Siehe meine Knechten sollen glücklich sein, ihr aber sollt zu Schanden werden. Siehe meine Knechten sollen vor guten Mut jauchzen, ihr aber sollt vor Herzeleid schreien und vor Jammer heilen. Und sollt euren Namen lassen, meinen Auserwählten, zum Schwur. Und der Herr wird dich täten und seine Knechte mit einem anderen Namen nennen. Dass weil er sich segnet wird, erwerden, der wird sich segnen, den wahrhaftigen Gott segnen. Und weil er schweren wird, erwerden, der wird bei dem wahrhaftigen Gott schweren. Denn der vorigen Ängste ist vergessen und sie sind von meinen Augen verborgen. I'm going to read the whole thing. But for some reason, I couldn't find that scripture. I looked. And the reason I'm on this conversation today, I feel, I don't want to say my own thing. There's so many things I could say. But when you text me, the Isaiah 65, I knew that's what we're going to have our conversation with. Because it's... What it is, it's meat and due season. It's not me deciding I'm going to be speaking on this now. We'll have this conversation. It's the Lord. Like meat and due season. This is the season for this. It's going to happen just up the road. If people take the warning, God sent a message. A messenger with a message. Turn back to the Word. Baptism. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By immersion. All these things he taught us. People rejected. And then there's another side here that has accepted it. And that's why this scripture is so priceless to me. I'll read it. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me. Behold me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name. That's us. We weren't no Israel. We were heathens. I have spread out. Now he's talking about Israel. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. He's talking about Israel. But in this hour, we can talk about the people we come out, the Hutterites. That's what they do. Jesus, God has spread out. He has tried time and time again to wake up to And what do they do? They kick them out. They'll accept anything except Christianity. They don't mess with our program, our materialism. And when you become a Christian, you're like the Muslims. You can't be a Muslim and a Christian at the same time. The Muslims, they kill you for being a Christian. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificed in gardens and burned incense upon altars of brick. Now, we know the Hutterites are not sacrificing altars, but materialism, Mr. God. That's, sure, today they look foolish if they go out there and build an altar onto some kind of, I don't know, God. But materialism has taken over priority in their lives. You can, which remain among the graves and lodge and the monuments which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessel, which say, stand by yourself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Look what it says here, stand by yourself, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. I was talking to my son-in-law here last week, and they just made a preacher in Europe. And of course, I don't agree with that, how they make preachers. Once the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, they didn't pull lots anymore. They pulled lots before the church of the birth of the church. After that, the Holy Ghost told them who to call and who to send and who this, who that. Because Paul wanted to take, he said, call me. When they did the anointed Stephen to become a deacon, the Holy Ghost anointed the people to call deacon on, men of filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul wanted to go in a certain country, the Holy Ghost stopped him from going in there. The whole church was controlled by the Holy Ghost after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, they pulled a lot. So that's where the Hutterites get that making preacher. They don't depend on the Holy Ghost, they would rather pull a lot. So he was kind of happy about the brother becoming preacher, it seemed like, and he offered the best. And when he said to me, he has never left the colony. Like, this is what makes him holy, because you've never left the colony. And that's how they look at me. I know Jake from Mayfair, that's how he looked, as when you have a group of face. So he's a good guy, because he never left the colony. These people that leave the colony, they're, I'll tell you what makes you holy. Except the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what makes you holy in the eyes of God. You can live and die in that colony 100 generations. That don't make you holy. But anyway, here it is. These are, which spend, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. See, in their eyes, they're holier than you and me. And but what does God say? These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. It's an abomination. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense in their bosoms. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burnt incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hill. Therefore will I measure their former work unto their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one day said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, my servant shall dwell there. And Sharon will be a fold of flocks in the valley of Ekron. Sure, it refers to Israel here, but it's talking to us. There's some, we will not have a fold in Israel, but spiritually speaking, we will have a spiritual blessing. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks in the valley of Ekron, for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. See, we sought the Lord. We're his people that have sought him. That's the key. For my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord. I was talking to the others. That forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. I looked up what that troop is. And the word troop was a very vile word. It's I don't know where I found it, but I looked it up in the Greek. I'd find it here. I'll just read it to you what the word troop is. It's not something good. I'm trying to get this Greek dictionary here. And I went to look at it this morning. a member of the Herodian family. Like, sure, but it was a negative thing that God hated. And also, if you look at this, I got this King James Study Bible. A troop is 11, or Gad. It's something that's not good. And they chose this something not good rather than God. And true, and that furnished a drink offering unto that number. They offered their stuff to the. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. But they did before mine eyes, and they chose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold my servant. This is the scripture that the Lord brought to my remembrance time to time. That's where we are heading for, because we met the conditions. We sought the Lord when that time of calling came. When, like when he wept over Jerusalem, 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 I would have gathered like a chicken, but I would have gathered like a hen gathered her chickens on her wings, but you would not. Therefore your house will be left you desolate. And we know what happened to them. The destruction came. But on the other side, the people that listened to the Lord, they left Jerusalem before destruction came, and they were saved. And it's the same thing today. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. That he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweared in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. It all runs parallel with what came before the destruction of Jerusalem. It runs parallel with Proverbs 1, because you've, weil ich den Ruf der Weiger dei, strecke meine Hand aus dem Nacht darauf, so wie der Allah der Eidung sogar spottet. It's all the same judgment, or the same blessings for those that did listen, the same curse for those that didn't. I heard not too long ago, there's a prominent preacher in the South Dakota colonies. He had a dream how the robbers were going to come in with guns and knives and shoot the children and kill everybody, women and children. I kind of believe it. Under this Obama administration, he's a lawless person. God knows how far he's going to allow it to go. But we know there's people in America that are going to rise up, and there's going to be a revolution, according to George Washington. And what do you think, the colonies are going to be left without? They're going to go after them just like everybody else. And I can see God's wrath being poured out on the colonies, because after they accept the Christianity, materialism was more important than Christianity. God has raised up people from time to time. They had to be kicked out, left their families at home, but they would not compromise. And it's God speaking. Come on, you guys, start listening. But do they listen? No. We can't let our traditions be affected, and we can't disrupt our lifestyle. God started this mashift, and that mashift I'm fine with the yin, and that's the way to go to heaven. Amen. Well, it's a deception. It's not of God. They're Satanists that have done it, not God. Why would God execute his own people? I mean, it's stupid. What, you want to read that in the King James? Have you got the King James? Isaiah 65? It comes out a lot better. I don't know, you should read the whole. Just read the whole thing. We got time. There's so much in there. You know, if a person wants to take heed and take warning, it's for this hour we're living in now. This is coming. We are going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. This thing that's coming doesn't scare me. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of sad for all the people that are going to not ready. But as far as when that time comes, we'll be glad we made the right choice. We'll be glad we listened to the Spirit. We'll be glad we took heed to the warning. And God will not have to laugh at us and mock us when that time comes. Like I said, all you got to do, you got to set your faces aflint. You got to believe this word. Did you find it in the NIV? Just read that part from, or start from 12.
I will list on you for the sword, and all of you will fall in the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight, and choose what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of hearts and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen ones to use in their curses. The Sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invoked a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God, for the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes.
Yeah, that's the scripture that, you know, from time to time I'd talk to you. You know, say there's a scripture about, I wish I knew where it was, and then it's just the way God works, you know. I couldn't find it no matter how I tried. And when you text me this morning, I knew the time has come for that. That's just up the road. There's going to come a time. Sure, everything is happy now. Everything is good, hunky-dory, just the way it was in the days of Noah. Before that flood came, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, and everything was hunky-dory. But one day, that was it. And it's the same today. The people are well off, materialism like never before. They had a crop like never before. Everything is going hunky-dory. But one day, it's going to not be that way. It's the Lord is warning. He said, no, that's what I felt on this, not this morning. That's what the Lord wants us to have a conversation around. And eventually we'll put it on the internet as soon as we get it up and running. Because the Lord didn't take us out just to have a good time. He put us out for a reason, to teach us something. And in fact, here a while ago, it was like, it was 9 o'clock it started. It was like the Lord was saying, okay, Sam, I've put you through school. Now you're going through school, trying to teach you something. It's time to write the exam. And I had to write what I believe. Know what you believe and know why I believe it. I had to not only say what I believe, I had to find scripture for what I believe. And all day long I was writing this exam. And I didn't get the marks back, but I'm sure if I had it wrong, the Lord would rebuke me for it. I think it was 100% right on. God sending a prophet to this age, which was William Branham. They excommunicate because I wrote him a letter. I believe we're living in the last days, and before he comes, God will send that prophet, the spirit of Elijah. And I wanted to go back and join the colony, and I wrote him a letter. That's what I believe. And I should have known better. I'll never accept it. But it was like the Lord said, you've got to write this letter as a witness to them. Now, on the day of judgment, that's going to stand against them. What I said, I'll put it on the website, all that I said, all that was in that letter. I still remember it. Because the Lord inspired me to write. How can I forget? And See, because of that, they put me in exile. You're done. You got till sundown to get out of here. And there again, it didn't bother me then. God had a way, God had an open door for me to go to. I still hadn't found Brother Jackson by that time. I said, Lord, there's got to be, I'm not going to compromise. I purpose in my heart not to compromise. And you see, I could have, then I'd be back in the colony. But what's back there? There's nothing back there for me. Nothing but more bondage. But at least I wouldn't have to try to fend for my life. I'd be part of them. It's not, in a way, it's not fun to be in exile, to be treated like a vagabond. But that's the price you have to pay. And I'm glad to do it. Willingly I did it. And I was put in exile because of it, because of the stain that I took. And I wouldn't compromise because I didn't compromise. The Lord moved me on. That's when he introduced me to Ministry Brother Jackson. See, I could have. It wasn't until I stood my ground, put my life on the line, that the Lord, okay, you passed your test. Now let's go. I got something else to show you. And that's how it is to this day. God always just gives, gets better and better. Not worse and worse. Finally, this, my servants will eat, and you shall starve. My servant will rejoice, and you shall be sad. And you shall be killed on the streets. I'm not looking forward to that. But neither was I looking forward to the calamity that I had to face. Homeless and treated like a vagabond. Didn't even know where your next... when I found a job, what they would do, they would go and track these people. I'm working for the Platts. If you have anything to do with sand, you will no longer build hog barns for the colonists. Well, they threatened them. I went to church with their church, and that's what they told me. Then I worked for this neighbor. They went and threatened the neighbor. If you have anything to do with sand, you cannot come on Hutterite property no more. Well, he told them, he said, if you come to me for help, Sam came to me for help, I'll help him. If you come to me for help, I'll do the same for you. So he didn't. He didn't take their threats. But some did. The Platts, they didn't have nothing to do with me because they wanted to continue work building barns for the colonists because it was their paycheck. But some did. Some didn't buckle. Some said, go fly a kite. And I was living with a guy up in Alberta, boarding in his place. He came up there, told to kick me out. Kick them out in the street. Tell them to go back home. See, they got a pretty strong arm. They did everything they possibly could. But I wouldn't buckle. I wouldn't bow. I wouldn't bow. I just took my ground. I wouldn't compromise. And that's what I see today. And up the road, it's not going to be a sad day when all this happens for me. Somehow God will have you in the hall of his hand. And I know it because... like that scripture says, my servants will rejoice. They will eat. It won't be a sad day for us. The day of the Lord will be a welcoming sight. Like I said, I'm sad because of the people that's going to fall by the sword that are not ready. But there's nothing you can do about it. Go try and tell them about this. They'll run you out of town. And that's what I... And we'll just continue on. You know, I was thinking about New Year... The world is having a great big party. It starts in Australia, and then it goes on to Singapore, and it's on New Year's Day. And it's like Belshazzar, one giant worldwide party. The party of all parties that he was going to pull. And then the handwriting came on the wall. And it's the same today. Year after year, it picks up more momentum, more steam. I picked up on the internet... Singapore has the biggest ball. You know, they drop that ball. The biggest ball, the biggest party. And then New York has the more and put up their ball, the more lights, put in more lights. It's all just one big party, New Year's. And it's not even God's New Year. April 1 is God's New Year. It's Satan's New Year. And I can prove it to you in the scripture. Where God told children, really let April be the first month of the first year. And I read where Noah... when he opened the window to the ark, it was the first day of the first month, which was April. And you can Google it on the internet, like we did. And we found that the Christians had April 1, when life begins. Life doesn't begin in life begins in the spring, not in January, the dead of winter. It's Satan's New Year. It's not, and I was studying this at New Year, and I found out, April Fool. God, the devil makes a fool of everything God does. So he puts up this April Fool thing. What's happened April 1? People go around April Fool. Making a fool out of God's New Year. That's basically the spirit behind it. Why? Everything is driven by spirit. It's nothing that just happens by chance. And when I studied this, it kept in my mind. One night as I was going to bed, April Fool. Yeah, that's the devil trying to make a fool of God. He does everywhere he can. April 1 is the real New Year and the calendar of God. And you go back where it told Israel, the first month of the first year, let that be the beginning of the year for you. And but anyway, what do you get? A New Year's, January 1, a big party, midnight, January 1, from all around the world. See, we could sing that song. A king made a feast for a banquet, and invited all his men to come and play. But he didn't know before the night was over that the kingdom that he held would pass away. As the crowds began to roar in a drunken slumber, a worried look soon took his smile away. As he looked, he said, "Behold, I see a finger, and it's writing something on the wall today. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? The image tells the story again today. Don't be waiting the balance and find wanting. Don't turn down the truth for your day. I've sent warning and I'm sending judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. And there's no way to escape it. The handwriting's on the wall again today. Now this world is getting closer to destruction. As you walk the streets, you can hear the word of doomsday. And we all know that something's soon to happen, or wicked men refuse to stop and pray. Soon after will someday turn to mourning, and the cries for help will be heard far away. Like the king when he finally saw the message, it was then he realized he had waited too late. The handwriting's on the wall, can't you see it? The message tells the story again today. Don't be waiting the balance and find wanting. Don't turn down the truth for your day. I send warning and now I'm sending judgment on a nation that's forgotten how to pray. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the wall again today. And there's no way to erase it. The handwriting's on the world again today. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this time of fellowship, for this conversation we had around your word. We just pray that wherever it might go, that it would hit the heart of a person, Lord. That because you're still unwilling that any should perish, that it all should come to repentance. And you always had a way of escape, and you're longing for the people to turn their heart back to you, Lord. Help us to be faithful and true, Lord. Lead and guide us by your Spirit. Help us to be sensitive to the day and hour that we're now living in. We all ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.